Good morning. Pleasure to be with you. Beautiful day, isn't it? Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word and consider the message that you would have us to learn for this day, may we be receptive. May we be guided by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. The story is told of a man who was sitting behind his desk one day, when all of a sudden there appeared before him an angel which said, "Sir, unto thee it is granted one wish. Name it. Name it." And the businessman thought for a moment, what would I wish for? He could wish for anything. Anything. He could have wealth, he could have riches, he could have position, honour. And after thinking for a moment, he said, "Angel, I pray you would grant to me the newspaper which is to be printed in 10 days' time." "Granted," said the angel. And there in front of him, he gave him the newspaper which was to be printed in 10 days' time. The man opened to the business section, the share market section, and saw to his great surprise and delight that in 10 days' time, that the shares of one particular company were going to skyrocket out of all proportion. He thought, ah. Brilliant. So he was in the days of course, electronic banking. He rang the bank manager and put all his everything he had, he mortgaged and put everything onto this company because he knew that in 10 days' time, man, would he be wealthy. And after doing the deed and getting it all organized and arranging with the bank, and thought, all set. 10 days' time, I'll be the wealthiest man around. And so he decided to have a look at the newspaper because, well, they had the newspaper for 10 days' time. So he had a look at the headlines of all the political biting and backbiting that was going to happen in 10 days' time. It was all there. He knew it. And he went through the various columns that were there and he saw the opinion page, saw the comic strip. He saw it all. He was all going through the newspaper. He came back to the business section and he saw it all again. Yep, in 10 days' time, wealth was going to be his. And then he came to the obituary column and he thought, this is interesting. I wonder who's going to be dead in 10 days' time. And he got halfway through the column when he turned sick. Because there in the death column was his own name. You know, we think of that story, that illustration, and smile. But hidden within that story, there's a message that we need to take heed of. And the message being that we do not fall into the trap of trying to take the future into our own hands. Because sometimes, invariably, we can get our fingers burnt. True? We sometimes can get our fingers burnt. And in the Bible, I would like to consider with you a story this morning. A story that we know very well of a mother and son who attempted to take hold of the future. But in so doing, they got their fingers burnt. And they got their fingers burnt very, very badly. If you have your Bibles, Come with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, we have here a very interesting story of a mother and son who attempt to take hold of the future. And they got their fingers badly burnt. Genesis chapter 25, beginning with verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one person shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Here we have the story, the beginning of the story of Esau and Jacob. Rebekah was told that she had two nations within her. She was told that the older would serve the younger. That meant that the birthright, the very special birthright, was to go to Jacob. I'm sure that both Rebekah and Isaac was aware of this. God had said so. And they both had full intentions of obeying the word of God. Why not? Isaac was a good person, upright, willing to obey. After all, we remember that he himself was nearly a sacrifice. Didn't run away from the altar. And in spite of all his faults and failings, Isaac had his heart with God. But then time moves along. Time moves along, and in Genesis 25, verse 27, we read this observation. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Rebekah loved Jacob. Here we see parents having their favourites. Nothing new. We connect with one over the other, and so we tend to favour them. But instead of trusting God, and trusting in God, we see the first step in Jacob trying to help God to make sure that he would get the coveted birthright. Instead of trusting God, we now see the story change as Jacob is determined to get this birthright. Because what do we see happening now? Verse 29. Jacob's sod pottage. Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point of death. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold him his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Instead of trusting God, we now see Jacob thinking, I can take advantage of my brother. Esau comes in faint and hungry, and let's be fair to Esau. Are you really in a position to argue to toss when you are faint and hungry? Of course you're not. And Jacob knew it. Jacob knew that his brother was hungry. Hey, you want something to eat? Give me a birthright. Come on. Give it to me. But I'm hungry. I don't care. Give me the birthright. You know, when you look at the whole thing objectively, at this point, Esau was in many ways the innocent victim of his brother's cunningness. But that's another story. Here we have Jacob saying, come on, give me the birthright. You're hungry, you're starving. I can win. I can win. And so there he is, taking advantage of his brother. Sell me the birthright. Give it to me. And so when he was hungry and starving, he was no position to argue, so he gave him the birthright. Yeah, you can have it. Have the birthright. Give me something to eat. Genesis 27. And here we got a new scene that starts to develop. An interesting scene, a tragic scene, a funny scene in some ways. Amusing. But let's read it. Genesis 27. Wonderful. And it came to pass when Isaac was old that his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, behold, my son. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Hang on a minute. Didn't he know that the birthright was to go to Jacob? Didn't he know? I mean, Dad's got the wrong script. He now is going to give it to Esau, and I can see Jacob and Rebecca thinking, hang on a minute, the old boy's lost his plot. He should know it's got to go to Jacob. It's wrong. So Rebecca thought this was the moment. No time to lose. We have to act quickly. We've got to do something quick. And so while poor Esau is down in the who knows where trying to find something to kill to bring home to Dad, Rebecca has it arranged that someone would go out and kill two kids and bring it in, dress it, and I bet two kids were never killed and dressed so quick in all their lives. And then we see Jacob dressing up in Esau clothes and the skin being put over him to fool the old man. We've got to fool him. How desperate. How desperate they were to get hold of this birthright. We can't let Esau get it. We can't let Dad fool around and get it wrong. And so in Genesis 27 verse 25, let's look at what happens. 25. After going through all this rigmarole of fooling his dad that he was Esau, In verse 24 it says, "Are you really my son Esau?" "Yes, I am." Then he said, 25, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought him near unto him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come now near, and I and kiss me my son. And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from the hunting. Just in the nick of time, he got the blessing. But question, did he get the birthright? Did he get the birthright? Got a blessing. But did he really get the birthright that he so desperately wanted? When you read through what Isaac had just blessed him with, before he said he got the birthright, let's read on. Because after Esau coming, then, wow, the balloon went up. Let's read it. Verse 30. Let's go back to verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made the end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made a savoury meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of it all, before thou camest and blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." You know, can you imagine that scene? There is nothing worse than the feeling that you have been deceived. And to make matters worse, the deception was done by a family member. Your own twin brother, your mother, how hurt Esau would have been. And how hurt Isaac would have been to know that his wife and his son had deceived him. But in verse 36, we read, and he said, this is Esau, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" Is there a blessing for me? Esau looks at his dad and says, "Come on, Dad, can't you bless me too?" And in verse 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, for the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And in verse 41 it begins with the words, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Love has gone out of the family home. Love had gone. Blessing to Jacob, blessing to Esau. Was it the birthright? Could you imagine the tent that night? And I guess this is where my imagination and sense of humour kicks in a little bit. But I can just imagine in my mind the family table that night. On one side you got Jacob, who was probably a rather slim built person, scared to death. On the other side of the table you got Esau, who was probably built like a tank, and has got the strength of an ox, and in his hand he's got a sharp sword, razor sharp. And he's saying to Jacob, I've just sharpened this today. Do you reckon I can test it on your neck? See how sharp it really is. Things at home weren't very good. Things at home were nervous. And so there was only one thing to do. Send Jacob away. Send Jacob away. Only one thing to do. To try and bring peace and harmony. And so, after thinking about it, it was decided that Jacob would go to his uncle's place. Genesis 28, come with me there. And here is interesting. Genesis 28. We're going to begin with verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob. Here he's about ready to leave. He's about ready to go on his way. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him, saying to him, and said to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise. Go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, of the daughter of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Only when Isaac knew for certain who was who, that he gave the birthright. Isaac's full intention was to give it to Jacob. All he was intending to do was to give to Esau a blessing. The birthright was fully intended for Jacob. And all of their deceptions, all of their carry-on was totally unnecessary. All they had to do was trust. But you know, there's a price to pay. Let's come down to verse 5. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Peninnah unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Peniel to take him a wife from thence, as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Peniel. In the Bible stories, Uncle Arthur Maxwell puts it so beautifully, where it says in verse 7 that Jacob obeyed his father and mother and was gone. How final those words are, and was gone. Because the record states that he never saw his mum again. The price of deception. Because they were willing to deceive, there was a price to pay. Jacob never saw his mum again. Never again would he know her love for him. Never again would he hear her voice. Never again would he know the touch of her hand. And for Rebecca, never again would she see her favourite son. She would face her old age knowing she was disliked and despised by Esau. Never to be trusted fully by her husband either. And all of this could have been avoided if only they had trusted God to work it out. What a sad tale, and yet it's a true tale. Each of us are making a story of our own lives. And what would people read if they could read the story of your life and my life? Would they read a story of trust? Or would they read a story of deception? Would they see in you and me a people who are trying to do their own thing, or would they see people who are depending upon God to work it out for them each one? Only you can answer that one for yourself. Are you trusting God? Are you letting God lead day by day? Are you listening to His voice? I trust that God will lead and will rule in your heart. May we each be willing to listen to Him speak. May we each be willing to obey and let Him do the leading day by day. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the invitation that we can trust You and that You will lead us day by day. May this be our experience, we pray, as we go through the week that lies ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.